From Variety, celebrating more than 118 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
The nominee for Best Motion Picture of the Year are...
American Fiction.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Barbie.
The Holdovers.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Maestro.
Oppenheimer.
Past Lives.
Poor Things.
And The Zone of Interest.
I'm Michael Schneider, and on this special edition of the award-winning Variety Award Circuit Podcast, it's a mega roundtable edition as we go through every category of this year's 96th Academy Awards. Get ready to win your Oscar pool. It's all next on this edition of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close.
Dun-da-dum. That's my fanfare. Hey, I think Oscar season should go another month. I'm not ready for it to end yet. But here we are. I am Variety TV editor Michael Schneider, along with the podcast crew, the Roundtable Gang. We got some Clayton Davis for you.
We do have
pow,
some.
Pow, pow.
Pew, 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 pew. We have the one and only Janelle Riley.
Hey, bringing the round to Roundtable.
Yes.
My God.
Jazz Tank A.
I guess I bring the table.
You bring the jazz.
I bring the jazz. Yeah. Oh, okay.
La musica.
You save jazz.
Yes, improv style. Jazz just, you know, whatever she's feeling at the moment.
Jazz hands.
Yes.
They can't see jazz hands.
Anatomy though. Of a Jazz.
So, what are you guys doing this week?
What's that?
What are you guys doing this week?
I came back from Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah.
Going to South By?
I might go to In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, you're going to South By.
Yes.
Should we go In-N-Out Burger? That's on Sunday.
That's where the winners go.
Yeah.
That's you.
Lou, sorry, you can't come in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in that case, you have to go to Burger King. Yeah.
Sorry, Wes Anderson. Yes. There's a Wendy's down the street.
Yes.
Do you have a statue in your hand? Enter.
Yeah.
If you don't.
They should host an after party. That would be amazing.
I'm surprised.
You know,
smart
the one year I went to the Oscars at the after party, they had an In-N-Out truck.
Ooh.
Yes. But I remember being very discouraged because it was when you were waiting for your limo. Because it's such a long wait.
Yeah.
They didn't have the fries. They had bags of chips.
Yeah, they always do that with the trucks. Because
yeah.
I guess the idea of putting a deep fryer inside a truck is probably not the best idea.
Come on, what could go wrong?
Exactly.
Excuse me, Little Mermaid did a McDonald's truck.
They did.
And they had fries.
That is
they
McDonald's.
Did, yes.
So that's McDonald's. Well,
McDonald's doesn't care about your rules,
Those fries have been in that truck since 1963.
But they're still delicious.
They were good.
God, so the best.
Delicious. The best.
So, Clayton Davis, I just went on to Variety.com to see...
/lists/2024-Oscar-predictions/documentary-short-5.
That's where it all starts. Scroll down to the bottom and start from the back on up. But, yeah,
time we're... Time of recording, those prediction pages have not been fully updated yet. They will be by the time
you're
listening to
this. Changes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, these are not final. Anything that you see, if you see an Oscar symbol on the picture, that means it's updated. If it's not
okay.
There... It's not real.
So are you going to make some last-minute changes?
What's here? Because I just turned in my print piece in our new marquee section in Variety Magazine. Check it out this week.
Print magazine.
Print. There's things that get printed, and then you can't change it anymore.
So you better get it right.
Yeah, so I better get it right. So we're going to work from the bottom up. Why don't you read the nominees, Mike, and then we can all debate
this.
That's
so sweet. You're giving him something to do.
I know, because he's going to be like, I've heard of this movie or not.
Exactly. Well, we're going to start with the
especially.
Shorts, where I have heard of nothing.
Yeah.
So, well, let's start then. Live action short. We have The After. We have Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Yeah,
yeah,
I know none of these.
Look, you even messed that up.
Yeah. So, I think the easy thing for a lot of people to do is choose a Wes Anderson movie. Mm-hmm.
But I also think a lot of people are going to say, like, we're not going to give it Wes Anderson his first Oscar for a short.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people in the now separated shorts and animation branch, when they were combined, there are a lot of shorts people in that community who get very perturbed, very annoyed by – established filmmakers with large budgets coming into their space.
Salute your shorts.
Ooh. Even though it's a very good short, and actually as someone who has such a love-hate relationship with Wes Anderson, I actually think shorts are a great medium for him because at about the 30-minute mark, the tweeness starts to get to me and make me itch.
Well, I think that is the Achilles heel of the movie. It's by far the longest of all the shorts that are there, is at the 40-minute mark. I have chosen to go with the other Netflix feature short film, The After, to win this in conversations with voters. It seems to be between that and Red, White, and Blue, which is a very timely movie, Michael, about women's reproductive rights. You may be aware that our country is on fire and not
Yeah, this is the last Oscars under democracy, I believe.
I was looking forward to 100, but 96 is a good one to go out on. But I'm going with The After, and I don't think anyone's wrong for picking any of them because it's always a crapshoot.
Yeah, I'm going with Red, White, and Blue.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what I was going to say, just because of the sub. It's actually a very good short, too.
These are all good, which is – but you know what I have to say, as a short filmmaker myself who's been to many festivals and sees a lot of shorts, they never really nominate the best. There's so many great shorts out there.
The shorts were, I think, collectively very rough this year. Even when you got down to the short list, the 15.
Oh, but there were some on that list that like – that were,
it was bizarre how – like some of them were like really not – well done.
But there were ones that were so good that I can't believe didn't make it.
Yeah.
Like Strange Way of Life, which you have on your page right now.
Shepherd.
Like,
Shepherd. Anne Frank Gift Shop.
Yeah, really good. But, you know, that's the way we go.
It's so weird.
These are the categories that really impact probably your pool. Office pool the most.
And, or your bathroom breaks. So I always want them to be more impactful during the ceremony. But, you know, people don't know where to watch these or how.
Well, a lot of them now, I mean, are streaming. So finally, there are opportunities.
Yeah. Netflix has a streaming site if people
are aware. I've heard netflix.com/streaming.
/5/-
No, well, to that, like a lot of the doc shorts, the documentary shorts themselves have been dropped on YouTube, which I found really interesting. Yeah. And
that's the next category.
Oh, what a segue.
Jazz
with the segue.
So we've got the ABCs of book banning. We've got The Barber of Little Rock. Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, which is a very local LAUSD. So shout out to Last Repair Shop.
Oh my gosh, wait for this.
And
oh my
God. Nai Nai and Waipo.
Oh, you got it.
She'd have faith in you, Mike.
Well, he's got the aloha.
Yeah. By far, of all the shorts categories, this is the best collective five.
Yes.
Of the group. Again, there is an obvious choice that people will make, and that will be The Last Repair Shop. Chris Bowers, God bless his heart, great composer and former winner Ben Proudfoot. And the story now that the repair shop has been saved in L.A. is going to touch the hearts of many. However, after a few conversations, I have chosen to predict ABCs of book banning.
Same.
Okay.
Oh, and I can see why, right? Because of the Sheila Nevins of it?
And there is some book banning going on
in the United States.
I mean,
it's topical.
It is very topical.
And by the way, not the best of them. And it has a very divisive response. Some people are like really on board with it, and some people like really don't like it. But
They're talking about it.
Yeah. And I think the Sheila Nevins retirement was just enough.
That timing was,
quite
interesting.
Timely.
Yeah, chef's kiss.
What's really fun is that, or a fun fact is that John Hoffman, who was nominated for The Barber of the Little Rock with Christine Turner, Sheila Nevins used to be his boss. So it's an interesting. I mean,
never get ahead in this world.
This is a tough one, right? Because I think Nai Nai and Waipo is so beautiful, and those grandmothers who Sean Wang's like. Grandmothers who feature in that are so like you can't not love them when you see them.
I talked to a voter who said I didn't watch any of the movies in this group, but I voted for Nai Nai and Waipo because I saw pictures of them at the Oscar lunch and it was so cute.
See, I wonder if that
I was furious.
That person gets a vote in this.
Yeah, but I wonder if that would. I mean, I think ABCs of book banning is probably going to be my pick, but.
I think ABC's and Last Repair Shop are battling out. I think the dark horse is Barber of Little Rock. A lot of people do love that that short. Actually, I really like it as well. And it's a little eye-opening, but we'll see.
Well, let's move on to animated shorts. Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
This is where titles mean everything.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you, I went to see Letter of a Pig because, you know, I love pigs. It's a Holocaust movie.
Not about pigs.
Not about pigs.
Nope.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cute. You know, my dog is named Wilbur after a pig. I adore pigs. I was very excited. And yes, I feel misled.
Yep.
It's also an excellent movie.
Yeah. I think that's the runner-up. I think John and Yoko.
The title.
Titles
matter, man.
Yeah. That is my instinct, but I'm going to stick with Letter to a Pig because...
Please. Someone needs to. That's good.
No. I'm coming.
Oh, and I also think it's interesting. 95 Senses is Jerusha and Jared Hess, the Napoleon Dynamites.
I know, which is...
Writer-directors. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, but that's pretty fun.
War's I think that's over. Where we're going to end up. But that is the internet choice, 95 Senses, by far. But I just think... When in doubt, go lazy Academy.
Yeah.
They'll check it off. They'll be like, oh, John Yoko, that sounds like it was interesting, maybe, if I watch it.
All right. Well, on now to international features.
Oh,
so quick. Go ahead.
Come on.
Go ahead, let's do it.
Mike,
though.
You can predict it too.
Yes.
Come on.
He hasn't seen any of these.
But the one that I've heard of. The one.
Which is, it's.
Wait, I want to see which one that
say
is.
Say the nominees first.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one is Io Capitano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, which I've heard of too, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yep.
Don't know what it is.
That's the obvious one, right?
Yeah, Zone of Interest. But nominated for Best Picture.
My God, Perfect Days.
My
God.
Can I also just say for the record, so everyone knows this, even if Perfect Days were to win, or even when Zone of Interest wins, Jonathan Glazer and Wim Wenders are not Oscar winners, and I hate this stupid rule.
Because it goes to...
It goes to the country.
Yeah.
Even though their names are on the Oscar as directors, they do not physically get the Oscars, and they are not Oscar
winners.
They can't
make a duplicate statuette?
I think they can.
They can make it out of chocolate.
Yeah. I think they can get... Like, you can give them an
crazy.
Oscar, but
they're
not Oscar winners. They can't be referred to as Oscar winners.
So it's just awarded to the country?
The country. That's,
Asghar Farhadi is not an Academy Award winner, even though his two films have won international feature.
So where does the Oscar end up? Just like...
In the
gutter.
What's it called?
The parliament or wherever.
Not parliament. What's it called?
Embassy?
Embassy, yeah.
No way. Are you serious?
I mean, that's what my guess has always been.
Or the consulate.
Or the consulate.
Yeah. Whatever.
So obviously Zone of Interest, but if there's a spoiler, it's Perfect Days.
If there's a spoiler, there is Perfect Days. That's my number two.
Which I wish had been considered in other categories. Oh, by the way, when we got to this category, I was like, well, clearly Anatomy of a Fall. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I still forget.
Which I believe,
not eligible.
I wonder what kind of effect that has on a voter who isn't nerds like us that could go down the ballot and they say to themselves, I'm definitely voting for Anatomy of a Fall. And when you get there, it's not there. Do you automatically tell yourself, okay, I guess I'm going Zone of Interest because it's nominated for picture? Or do you do something else?
Or do they go Society of the Snow?
Or makeup branch person might because it's nominated for makeup. Mm. But I
bet a lot of people saw Society of the Snow too.
Oh, yeah.
It's
definitely
Netflix.
A very watched movie.
Oh, man, though. Perfect Days.
Let's go to Docs.
What a beautiful
Let's
movie.
Go to Doc Feature.
AKA International Feature Part 2. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So we got Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Maripol.
Yeah. 20 Days, topical. There's a war going on in Ukraine still, 2 years later. I think that's the one. It also won DGA. And then PGA winner is not nominated here, American Symphony. Spoiler, though, I think... coincidentally, it's To Kill a Tiger.
Oh, yeah, yes. I think it is.
Yeah,
I'm going with To Kill a Tiger.
I'll tell you what's so interesting about that journey is that did not have distribution. She, Nisha, and the TIFF team went out campaigning. It got nominated. Well, it got shortlisted, got nominated, and then...
Now Netflix has
it. Netflix has it.
But it's not, they're not considering it among their slate. But I feel like that kind of told me it was number two in a weird way. I was like, maybe it's just his number two.
If it's not 20 Days, then To Kill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But I think Bobby Wine could also do it if you're looking for a happy choice, and that's the happiest one in the group.
I will say Nat Geo has done an excellent job promoting it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're
so
everywhere
great.
With Bobby Wine.
Yeah.
So.
And their docs are just fantastic.
Yeah. So I could see that be a surprise too. Just and that will be the power of campaigning if they pull that off.
Power
of
television.
It's also a good movie.
Yeah.
All right. So... on to original song. So from American Symphony, we've got It Never Went Away by John Batiste and Dan Wilson. At Barbie, we've got I'm Just Ken, Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. Also from Barbie, What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas. From Flamin' Hot, this is the but of course, Diane Warren. It's not an Oscars if Diane Warren is not nominated.
It's her best nomination like 7 years.
The Fire Inside, The Fire Inside, which is what you feel when you eat a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and then finally from Killers of the Flower Moon. Now this one,
make him say it.
I think it's Wajayjay.
Wajayjay.
I think so.
A Song for My People by Scott George.
Yeah.
I just want it to be I'm Just Kidding.
I know.
So
we all do.
Badly.
I do. Listen, I think we have to leave ourselves open to that possibility that Ken pulled it off. Yeah. And if that ceremony doesn't start with Ryan Gosling, they're doing it wrong. But I think it's the Song of the Year winner. Like Billy, Grammy. Yeah. That's hard. Like, I mean, I think I'm Just Kidding is definitely a movie song. And again, it all depends on how you vote in this category. But I think it's Billy.
But is there a world where the two Barbie songs split?
We were talking about that.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But no.
I think the Killers of the Flower Moon song is a strong contender, too. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just going to stick with I'm Just Ken. Mm. I just have to.
Good. I'm going with Billy.
Yeah. And that's fine. And by the way, Billie Eilish Phineas, going to make some history, will be the youngest two-time Oscar winners in history.
Yeah, that's what's going to be incredible is the fact that they already have two Oscars.
So it's obviously it's very impressive for Billie because three women have won two Oscars by the time they're before the age of 30. And that was Jodie Foster, Hilary Swank, and Glenda Jackson. I'll come to me in a minute. So there were actresses, obviously. She's the first one to do it. That's going to be a non-actor. Phineas, no man has done it before the age of 32, and that was Walt Disney.
Wow.
In like the shorts categories when he was giving himself Oscars. So I thought that is super interesting that Phineas, I'm actually more impressed by him doing it than Billy. I mean, they both have so many more years left.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Just keep doing it.
The reason I'm sticking with Billy is she's also been campaigning really hard. She's been showing up, but not just showing up and leaving. She's been staying through like the Costume Designer Guild Awards and everywhere else. Like,
she seems like she's having the greatest time.
I know.
Maybe she's just a really good actor, but like it just charms me.
And she's been out there.
I think also going back to what I said a couple weeks ago is it would just be such a bad look if the only Oscar that Barbie wins is for a song about Ken. Mm. And I think people will kind of take that into consideration when they're like,
well, then they should vote for it in the categories too.
This is a bad look.
Look at that.
Yeah. But they probably won't, so it's a bad look to, you know, you feel like I should probably vote for the song that's really the emotional core of this film and what it's about.
It is the My Heart Will Go On of the year.
It kind of is. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So, all right, so that is song. Now we're moving on to original score.
And this is where it begins.
Yep, this is where you're going to hear a lot of the same words. Go ahead.
All right, so we got American Fiction, Laura Cartman. You got Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the one and only John Williams.
Our cover this week.
This week.
Uh-huh. Go check out Print Variety.
Incredible Store by Chris Willman.
Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson.
May he rest in peace.
Oppenheimer, Ludwig Göransson. And then, of course, Poor Things, Jerskin Fendricks.
Very nice.
Oppie, right?
Yes. It's Oppie. Good night, Oppie.
Good night, Oppie.
Ludwig's going to win his second Oscar in 7 years, I think. Because he went for Black Panther. I think it's an easy call. Runner-up, not saying it's close, but, you know, I think a good comfortable number two is Robbie Robertson.
Of course.
Because of his passing.
His passing. I think people just voted. And it's also a great score.
Yeah, it's a great score. Just want to, since we're beginning the Oppenheimer sweep, quick plug if you haven't read the op-ed by Oppenheimer. Robert Oppenheimer's grandson wrote something for us last week, and it's very like kind of talks about like what he thinks Oppenheimer would have thought of the film and why the film's urgent and necessary. And
how old is his grandson really good. Now?
I don't know. He's like got to be in his like 30s, 40s at least. Mm. Yeah.
Would you say his op-ed is the bomb?
No, I would never say that because I'm not a dad.
I would love to hear that.
Charles Oppenheimer is his name, by the way. Charles. And he is 48, yes.
48?
Yeah, but he looks young.
Oh, he does look young. Yeah. But I also could be a very, like, that could be him at 30.
radiation is good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, yo, quit while you're behind, like.
Spread it all over your face.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I did, when I was like, he looks young, I was like, I expected him to look like Cillian Murphy in a big close-up on his face.
Visual effects.
The Creator. Whoa. Godzilla Minus One. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. And Napoleon.
You know what's interesting is you have probably my favorite movie of the year and my least favorite movie of the year in the same category.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh.
But it's not what you think.
Can't wait.
This is a tough one.
It's the hardest category because Poor Things won BAFTA, not nominated here. Oppenheimer was snubbed. Dune Part Crazy. 2 got moved out of the year. I am going with the BS sweeper of The Creator. It's a safe studio choice. I think if you're in a studio movie mood, then you go Creator. The runner-up is Godzilla Minus One.
I'm choosing Chaos and going with Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
I'm going to do that too.
Yes. Make me wrong.
Although, I mean, yeah, The Creator is very popular with visual effects artists, and it won at VS, but Godzilla Minus One came in at the last minute. They submitted at the last minute, and they're really popular. I don't know. I mean, it is a really tough one.
Well, it's interesting that when you look at stats of this category, there's like the sound stat that visual effects goes with the sound nomination that favors, obviously, The Creator and Mission Impossible. Also, the first Mission Impossible Oscar nomination in the entire franchise.
Wow, really?
Which is nuts. Yeah. And then there's the production design stat that 20 out of the last 23 VFX winners were nominated in production design. The only one nominated there, Napoleon. And then there's the sole nominated movie of Godzilla, which was not nominated at BAFTA. And I believe almost every winner has been nominated there in like the last decade. And then Guardians has pretty much everything like on paper. But also it would be the weirdest first time Marvel movie to win this category. Like it would be like Suicide Squad becoming the first. We're like, oh, okay, I guess that would
also
be
also the worst Marvel movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So there's no definitive right answer, but I'm going Creator.
It's interesting because both of these films, their budgets come in at under $100 million.
I love that.
Dollars, too. So,
good on them.
I would like $100 million. Go ahead.
Let's all sound.
Don't you get all kinds of money from kickbacks from the studios?
That's true. Whenever I see something nice.
Yeah, right?
Isn't that how it works?
You are the pathway to the Oscars.
Oh, God, sound.
Sound. So, once again, The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
Flip a coin. BAFTA went with Zone of Interest.
God, that so sounded so interesting.
Cinema Audio Society went with Oppenheimer. MPSC went with Oppenheimer, beating Zone of Interest there. And then there is no other precursor. I can't predict everything that BAFTA is predicting. BAFTA picked. I'm going with Oppenheimer.
Same. You're not going to go Oppenheimer down the ballot and be like, oh, Zone here. Like, I can't.
I mean, I think you can, because Zone is coincidentally like Sound of Metal, that the sound is so integral to the story and the experience.
It's, yeah. Insane.
So,
but so is with Maestro, I would think.
Yeah.
That would be.
And, which is funny. I always thought that if Oppenheimer was going to lose anything, I thought it would be Maestro. Mm-hmm. And it clearly isn't the case. So I think I'm going to stay safe. I think the safe pick is Oppenheimer, but Zone could totally do it.
It's fun to see Tom Ozanek and Dean Zupanchik both nominated.
I also love the idea of Johnny Byrne winning an Oscar because he's amazing. Yeah. I love that guy.
They're both nominated for Maestro and The Creator. But
I feel like we're going to be saying Oppenheimer a lot the next half of this
Not in the next one.
Well, definitely not the next one.
Well, the next one, makeup and hairstyling. So we have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow.
50-50 also, because BAFTA went with Poor Things, but Makeup Guild did a Maestro sweep where Poor Things won nothing. And my theory is, I think you predict here, depending on how high you have Bradley Cooper ranked in your best actor
predictions. Or just how high you are?
How high he is in your best actor predictions. If you have him 3 or 4, then you can predict Maestro here. If you think he's last, then you shouldn't predict him here. You shouldn't predict Maestro.
All right. Well, you're predicting Maestro.
I'm going to take Maestro because I have him fourth. But I don't like it.
But it's interesting because the makeup at win has been tied to an acting win. And in this case, this would probably be, if we go with the Maestro route.
Yeah. Well, it's tied to a lead acting performance. That's nominated. So that obviously favors Bradley. Now, Emma's nominated, but they're not nominating Poor Things for Emma. They're nominating it for the performance that was snubbed, and that was Willem Dafoe. And that's why, I think.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Poor Things. I think,
I'm jealous. I'm just jealous.
I'm a little annoyed by this Oppenheimer nomination because I don't think it should just be one person.
I agree.
Yeah.
By the way, I have in front of me like my final print copy, and that's the one I changed before it went to the printer.
Oh, did you?
It was makeup. I had Poor Things, and then I switched back to Maestro.
Oh, look. Oh, so it is going to be Poor Things.
It's going to be Poor Things.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Maestro.
Remember this moment, guys.
Sticking with Maestro.
Sticking with Maestro.
But yes, Jamie Lee McIntosh, who was the hairstylist on Oppenheimer, should have been on that ballot with.
But no one knows that because names aren't on the ballots. No. It's just the name of the movie, which is kind of silly.
Back to
film editing.
So film editing. So we have Anatomy of a Fall. We have The Holdovers. We have Killers of the Flower Moon. We have Oppenheimer. And we have Poor Things.
Easy,
beautiful cover girl. Enjoy your Oscar, Jennifer Lame. It's going to be awesome.
First woman to win in 9 years for editing.
Yeah.
That's not lame at all.
That's
not.
Nice. Oh my God.
What have I done with my life?
Yeah. I mean, such a deserving win. By the way, also why I'm predicting Oppenheimer and sound. Film editing and sound go together a lot.
Okay. Right. Mm. Jennifer Lame is going to win.
Yeah. What do you think, Janelle?
Oppenheimer. Yeah. I do think it's funny because I read something the other day where somebody was like, you know, people don't understand what film editing is and you should give it to Killers of the Flower Moon because otherwise that movie would have been 4 hours long. And I was like, you just demonstrated you don't know what film editing is with that very statement.
And that film was 4 hours long.
So. 3:29.
Okay. Costume design. So.
You crazy, Clayton.
We got Barbie. We got Killers of the Flower Moon. We got Napoleon. We got Oppenheimer. And we got Poor Things.
So, and I think we should just say, because it's going to go together, we're going to also read the nominees for production design, which are these same exact five films. So you could just say them again, right? So the big stat, obviously, is them not usually splitting in these two categories. They very rarely will do that. When speaking to voters, I feel like Poor Things is aggressively winning production design. I do hear the split a lot in costume. So I think you are fine to do a split with Poor Things in production, Barbie in costume, or Poor Things in both, but not Barbie in both. I have chosen to do the split of Poor Things in production, Barbie in costume, because I just feel like you think of Barbie, you think of Ken's coat, you think of them rollerblading in Santa Monica, all those types of things. Poor Things, you mostly think of Emma with her big ruffled shoulder yellow thing. Poor Things in production is, I think they're – Poor Things and Barbie were both shot on a soundstage. And I think Poor Things will just scream more impressive to a voter because thinking of building an entire city inside a room and it feels like an entire city and not a room. And Barbie, you're kind of hyper aware that they're on a soundstage.
See, like, I feel the exact opposite.
Do you?
Yeah, but I'm weird.
Oh, so I go with Jesus there.
I mean, they both feel like you're on a soundstage to some degree, but...
See, I didn't get that feeling with Barbie. That's the crazy thing. And I know everyone says that. And I'm like, okay, apparently I'm just gullible. Because I was just like...
Well, maybe because it's there in the desert for a long time.
Yeah.
So it feels like they're...
Come on, I've seen that beach.
But, but no, I think it's kind of an either or thing. Barbie, this is where Barbie can pull up Black Panther. Black Panther won production and costumes its year, and it wasn't really supposed to, quote unquote, you know, because of where the precursors fell. But precursor wise, costumes, BAFTA went with Poor Things, and the Guild went with Poor Things and Barbie, but they were in separate categories.
I'm sticking with Poor Things in both.
Where are you, Jazz?
I think I'm going to stick with Poor Things in both.
Yeah.
But
Even people who don't like Poor Things just talk about the production design and the costumes. Yeah.
I might change to
There's also like, the I mean, the, both are spectacular in Barbie too, but there's something to be said for like, in Barbie, you're sort of working off something, whereas Poor Things feels so original, like you created this world. Mm-hmm. And it's not steampunk, we learned.
Yes. The other thing, though, with Barbie is like they all had such a really difficult job of pink on pink on pink, which is not easy to do. So I don't know. I might change at the last minute, but right now I'm
going to
do
if Barbie won, I'd be thrilled. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm going with I think Barbie costumes, Poor Things production. For
all right. Cinematography.
All right, babe. I got this one.
Yeah.
Actually, we should let Jazz. These are her people.
I'll name them first. El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Oh, see, I was going to have Jazz do the names.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
I thought you wanted her to.
No.
Okay. Just say the ASC winner. Let's go.
Yes. I mean, I was hoping ASC would go rogue. They didn't, and our winner is going to be Hoyte van Hoytema.
Now, this category, though, none of these people have won. 14 combined nominations between these five. I think it's pretty safe to say legends, even though some of them are newer.
Especially Rodrigo.
Yeah. Every single one of these people is overdue in my eyes. So
agreed. And 4 out of 5 of them shot on film, and all 5 of them, as at the ASC, were shot and all featured black and white, which was fun. So,
by the way, does the name Hoyte mean something? Like,
I'm not Dutch.
Don't know.
Well, no, just because his name is Hoyte van Hoytema, I was like, is his name like John Smith?
Heaven
John Smith?
Of the heavens. I don't know.
Boutros Ghali.
Number 2, though, is Rodrigo, though.
Gosh, I just have to say, if people want to choose violence, go with El Conde.
I mean,
I wouldn't be mad, but
yeah.
I don't remember the last Soul cinematography winner.
Yeah.
Might have been cinematography.
Deakins?
No, to be the only nomination and win.
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I think it was a documentary back in like the 30s.
Wow.
Something like that.
Oh. All right. Going back a bit.
We're going to animated feature.
All right. This is a fun one. So we got The Boy and the Heron. We've got Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Robot Dreams.
No, it makes me so sad.
I love it so much.
I love Nimona, too.
I love three of these 5 were in my top 10 of the year, so I love so many of them. I'm going with Spider-Man for 2 reasons. One, they've won with the guilds, whereas Boy and the Heron has won BAFTA and Globe, and I just think industry-wide, Spider-Man is the favorite there. And I think this all goes into Harrison Ford shrinking mode again. They still want you to want it just a little bit. And Hayao Miyazaki has not been anywhere. He didn't – nobody – not even his producer showed up to the BAFTAs, showed up to the Globes. And I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
So you don't think nagging the Academy pays off?
I don't think just being like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to work on my next movie while you guys are doing this campaign thing. I think, you know, Spider guys have been everywhere.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So you agree, Jazz?
Yep, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Janelle?
Yeah, it's like my favorite movie of the year, so.
All right, Spider-Man it is. All right, we are on to adapted screenplay.
I think y'all are crazy for thinking that this is...
Here we go. It is American Fiction, Cord Jefferson. It's Barbie, Greta Gerwig, and Noah Baumbach. Oppenheimer, Chris Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, Tony McNamara, and The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. So, here we go.
It's going to be American Fiction, Cord Jefferson.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
You're dreaming.
I think with BAFTA, Scripter, the BAFTA especially, it had no business winning BAFTA.
Look, don't come at me with facts.
No.
And statistics.
No, that's my Q&A.
And historic precedents.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if American Fiction had not won BAFTA, I would not be doing this. But I'm telling you, when I say with all the heart of my heart that it had no business winning BAFTA, it was its only nomination. I never thought that movie would appeal to an international demographic. I love American Fiction. It's my favorite movie of the year, but I think it's just going to pull it off. And I think an Anatomy of a Fall voter in original screenplay is also an American Fiction voter in adapted.
Mm. So, Janelle,
upset is Cord. I think Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer. It's gonna be Oppenheimer.
I think Cord gets it. Though.
You think who does?
Cord. I think
hey, look that way. It would be great. These are all four of them are great scripts.
Can I just say, with your Oppenheimer pick, which is not a bad pick, it's my number two pick.
Well, thank you.
Yes, no, it's not bad. It's my number two pick. But I don't think a Best Picture winner has upset an adapted screenplay after winning nothing, like, in the modern era.
Well, we haven't had WGA is a thing sucks.
I think that does suck a lot because we're all going to assume what would have won WGA because WGA's after. I think your precedent here closest would be Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. It wasn't supposed to win adapted screenplay on its day. And the only thing it won, I think, was BAFTA.
And with Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, that was a juggernaut, like Oppenheimer is going to be this year.
Yeah.
And I don't see giving Oppenheimer all these awards and not recognizing the screenplay.
I mean, but similarly, we had the same kind of thing happen with Shape of Water, never contended in screenplay.
Not the greatest screenplay, though.
I mean, some people would argue that Oppenheimer has its screenplay issues as well. But also, I think La La Land also lost screenplay when it was supposed to win, quote unquote.
What did it lose to? Moonlight?
Manchester by the Sea.
Right, because Moonlight was adapted. Yes, because of the play.
Yeah. So there are sometimes like they go, but like the
But La La Land also didn't win Best Picture.
Also didn't win, yeah. I mean, the hat trick is hard. Like, I mean,
Nolan
will be the 11th person to do it.
All right, well, let's move on to original screenplay now.
Oh, this is the worst.
So we got Anatomy of a Fall from Justine Triet and Arthur Harari.
A married couple.
The Holdovers from David Hemmingson. We've got Maestro, Bradley Cooper, and Josh Singer.
Not a married couple.
We've got May December, Sammy Birch, and Alex McCann.
A married couple.
And then Past Lives from Celine Song.
Oh, who is married?
Oh, my goodness.
Who is married?
Yes. These are all my favorites.
These are great films.
So I have some news that might be a little breaking.
Okay.
I'm predicting Anatomy of a Fall. The upset pick, though, is Past Lives.
Past Lives.
God.
I was shocked how much I heard that name being voted for on the circuit. I think that's number two.
I got to say, there's been like this 11th hour real boost, I feel like, of just everyone talking about Past Lives.
They're watching
and how
the
much
movie
they
finally.
Love
yep.
Past Lives.
Yeah. It's out there.
We haven't had an American audience really weigh in on screenplay, and to the credit of all of us here, and I think Janelle might have said this earlier in the season, we're putting so much weight on the Golden Globes Best Screenplay win because Anatomy won screenplay.
That's right.
At the Globes, and it won BAFTA. Do you know what else won BAFTA and Golden Globes last year? Banshees of Inisherin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are way too comfortable to be like, oh, it's Anatomy. I'm predicting Anatomy. I'm saying that. But I think we need to be open to – I think Past Lives is the one.
But then do you have Anatomy predicted anywhere else for
I think that means Anatomy goes – Anatomy would be like up in the air when it lost. By the way, it lost to the movie that was also winning Supporting Actress.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm going with
Holdovers.
I'm going with the Holdovers.
I think the Holdovers could totally do it too. So
you know, I love me some May December, and I love me some Past Lives. Oh. People like this might be the obviously Holdovers is getting rewarded elsewhere, but people who I know that who don't even necessarily love the movie talk about that script.
Yeah,
you know, and David Hemmingson is just such a good dude.
He's great.
You know, who's been great on the circuit. Like, look, I'm going to be so happy if it is Past Lives. That would make me very, very happy. But
is that what you're going with, though?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Holdovers. Mm. Yes. Which will also make me happy, by the way.
I'm going to go with Celine for Past Lives.
Oh, you're going to take my bait.
No, because of the surge. Like, the love for that film.
Right when voting was going on. It was perfect time.
Where
Everyone
was that
was
surge
watching it.
During phase
by
one?
By the way, do you know the last movie to be nominated for picture and screenplay only? Women Talking. And what did that win? Screenplay.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're on to something. It was adapted, but still nonetheless.
Yeah.
You never know.
I could totally see it. All right, so now we're moving on to the acting categories. First up, actress in a supporting role. We've got Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple, America Ferrera from Barbie, Jodie Foster from Naiad, and Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers.
Simply divine.
Davine all day.
My heart pick is Danielle Brooks. But Davine, yes, enjoy. Should have won it for Dolemite. So.
The joy.
So who would be the spoiler?
Emily Blunt.
Really?
Because if you're in an Oppenheimer mood, like why not? I mean, I think America Ferrera is three.
Yeah.
But I kind of just don't think it matters. It's one of those years that, like, we can argue about who number two is. It doesn't matter.
Boy, people who see Naiad, though, do love Jodie Foster.
Jodie had a lot of votes out there.
If she had campaigned, honestly, I think if she had campaigned,
Annette Bening would be in a very different place today in that category.
Well, and when you think about it, Jodie Foster has been out there because of True Detective.
Yeah.
So we have seen a lot of Jodie Foster in the past couple of months.
And Jodie is not like a throwaway, like, she's fantastic. Jodie Foster. Like, I'm not even big on Naiad. I think she is the best part of that movie by like mile. I think she is phenomenal in it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Always great. I do love the renaissance of Jodie Foster we've seen recently.
Let's do it.
We'll be hearing her name a lot.
All right, so actor in a supporting role, we got Sterling K. Brown, we love him, from American Fiction. We got Robert De Niro from Killers of the Flower Moon. We've got RDJ, Robert Downey Jr. from Oppenheimer.
You were about to say it.
You were doing so
tired.
He's
tired.
Oppenheimer. I was up till midnight last night seeing Madonna in concert.
Oh.
Side note, a fantastic show. We'll talk more about that later. Ryan Gosling from Barbie and Mark Ruffalo from Poor Things. Stacked category.
I think it's so aggressively Robert Downey Jr. When I say I think he's winning with like 70% of the vote. Like I think it's
even with this competition.
Like when I was startled at how much people who didn't like Oppenheimer were still voting for him. And I was like, okay, I guess we're just in that type of mood.
Is that as much as just people love RDJ?
I think it's just kind of like, you know.
And they want to reward him for going back to this kind of a performance,
yeah,
I think.
You know?
Yeah. Can I just say I'll be very happy, and I'm going to pretend it's actually an Oscar for Chaplin, which he should have won for. thrilled Robert Downey Jr. is going to be an Oscar winner. I wish Ryan Gosling had really gone for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very supportive of the movie, but I don't think he likes to put the focus on himself.
We'd be in a different place if he put in a little more. The same America Ferrera effort, if he put that in, he'd be in a different spot.
Yeah. I mean, he was rocking a hard place, right? Because he couldn't do too much.
Excellent point.
Yeah. So, you know, what are you going to do? Is he still your spoiler?
Yeah, he's number two. Yeah.
But like a low two?
Yeah, I mean, like a two. Yeah, like a low two. I mean, Mark Ruffalo also got some votes too. And I think Mark Ruffalo is just one of those guys. He's going to win an Oscar one day. He's going to win in a yearly coronation. He doesn't win in an upset. Like, you know, he's going to win when everyone knows what time it is. Like,
by the way,
like Robert Downey Jr.
I just looked up who Robert Downey Jr. lost to in the year of Chaplin.
Pacino.
Yeah.
That's Denzel's Oscar.
Well, the problem is that Denzel was also up that year for Malcolm X, which was the greatest.
I spoke to a voter, by the way, who's been a voter for over a very, very long time, said he's voted for RDJ every single time he's been up for an Oscar.
Wow, all twice?
Well, yeah. I was shocked that they voted for him for Tropic Thunder. That's the Heath Ledger year.
No, so I like, love that.
Go for it, man.
Oh, I was on the Josh Brolin train that year. Yeah, I thought he was great.
Do we also feel like there's been a Poor Things renaissance? Like, I feel like that's also had a 11th hour
people
surge.
People really love that movie.
Well, I'll say something right after we get into actress.
Okay, we'll get to actress and we'll talk about that. Yeah, because that's the big one, obviously. Yeah. Okay, so actress in a leading role. We have Annette Bening from Naiad, which again, Naiad performing like ultra strong ultimately for a Netflix film.
It's really good.
You know what? I wish I knew the WGA nominees before, because when I got WGA nominated, I was like, I would have predicted Annette. I would have just went for it because there it goes. And then I just didn't get it. But go ahead. Annette Bening.
Yeah. As Naiad, who, by the way, is a big supporter of the Great Los Angeles Walk. Diana Naiad is at every walk
That's
every
right.
year.
I dropped your name to her and Bonnie.
Come say hi to her at the next one in November. Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan from Maestro. And Emma Stone from Poor Things.
So is it Gladstone one? Or Gladstone won.
Two rocks. Remember two rocks? God.
Yeah. So what are we doing? Where are you at now?
This is Chadwick Boseman, Anthony Hopkins part two. It came down to math. I think Emma Stone and Sandra Hüller are splitting the international vote. And that's allowing Lily Gladstone to come up.
Allowing
Lily We allow you to win,
here's
Lily.
The thing. And listen, I would love to do a postmortem of the season after. The amount of times people told me, why isn't she in support?
Oh, I know.
Like, it would just be so easy this year, mm-hmm. and it would just be
would
like,
it, though? Because they love Davine.
I mean, I don't think Davine ever gets arrested the way she is. I think Lily would have plowed through the season. And she did a lot of the season, even in lead. I think in supporting it would have been different. Can Emma win? Sure. Poor Things is in a very weird spot where it literally can win anywhere between 0 and 6 Oscars.
Yep.
And that's mm-hmm. a really wide gap.
Yeah.
If it loses everything, it ties for the biggest loser of all time with Color Purple and Turning Point. It will go 0-11.
Turning Point.
So I have it right now based on we're going through predictions. I have it only winning production design, which is a really weird 1 Oscar win for an 11 Oscar nominated movie. Last movie to win just production design only was Sweeney Todd in 2007.
Wow.
So you're not wrong to go with either Carrie or Lily, but I had to do a math equation, and that's my justification for going with Lily. Even though I switched my SAG prediction at the last moment.
Yeah,
and lesson to be learned, don't ever do that again.
Right, because you had Lily and then you switched to Emma at the last minute and then you were burned.
And then I got burned.
I get bragging rights for sticking.
As you should.
So you're not going to do that again.
I'm not. I'm sticking with Lily. Because you know what? I'd rather be there for her if she won than – I'd rather if she didn't win, say that she was going to maybe do it, than have her win and me say it was Emma.
Yeah. Understood.
So, rest of you, also
easy
Gladstone?
Going with Stone.
Which,
sticking
going
with Stone.
The Emma.
And I think a lot of it comes down to campaigning.
I'm going to stick with Lily. I think the history moment is just...
Yeah.
I think I've heard that when I've been speaking to voters, too, of just... I think it would be such an amazing moment for the Academy.
Mm-hmm. And there is consideration that goes into that, that they think about, like, okay...
Of course,
like,
yeah.
It is a moment. Also... Only thing you can give Killers, by the way, and if Killers loses, if it loses Lily, that means it goes 0-10. Scorsese becomes the first director to direct 2 0-10 movies, and that would be like not cool.
Mm.
So I think I mean,
still pretty impressed. Most people don't direct movies that get 10 nominations.
Yeah, don't get 30 Oscar nominations between 3 movies.
Can I just tell you that Best Actress, female actor in a leading role, I had a perfect record at the SAG Awards this year for the first time ever, except this category.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, let's move to actor now. So we got Bradley Cooper for Maestro. We got Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
Ask Cillian to say 30 for you sometimes. It's the cutest. 30.
Well, he's Irish.
Much like actress, I also did math and I figured out why Cillian Murphy is winning. Aside, I know people are going to be kids. It's undeniable.
You're not going to argue against Seth.
So here it is. American Fiction, I believe, is having such a moment. And it's such a moment that it's winning adapted screenplay. And if this had started a month earlier, I think we would have been having a serious conversation about what it's about to do at the Oscars. But that's not happening. I think Jeffrey Wright moving up the notches is eating into Paul Giamatti's voting demographic.
Those are weird splits.
I think they both eat from the American vote and the vote that you're like, I want to reward a career. I've loved these guys forever. They're theater guys. Also, Colman Domingo eats into that too. Mm. And I think Cillian Murphy is just running away with the international vote. And then that's just allowing that.
That
to
just
happen.
Seems very arbitrary. Like, well, we ought to have one guy who's a brunette. So, like,
I mean, it's like presidential election kind of thing. It's like,
the Nate Silver of the Oscars.
Like educated, women over 30 kind of thing. Like, there are people who appeal to certain demographics. So you build your campaign that way.
Yeah. No, I could see it too. Because there's also, the Holdovers and American Fiction, similar tone if you want something that's a little more
They're
comedic.
Both writers.
And he's a titular character of that. And by the way,
the titular character.
And by the way, the reason I had a lot of issues with it was because of the RDJ factor. A Best Picture winner hasn't won actor and supporting actor together since Ben-Hur in 1959.
Wow.
So that was like, okay, I feel like it's going to lose there and then that's it. Because by the way, Michael Keaton lost for Birdman to a 12-year-old. His name's Eddie Redmayne. He's not 12. but like You cannot convince me.
That was campaigning, man. I have never seen a campaign played so well.
You could never have convinced me to predict Birdman to win picture, director, screenplay.
It was crazy.
And not take Keaton.
Yeah. No, he probably should have, let's be honest. But like, that was when I was like, he reminded me of Jean Desjardins. That charm circuit that Eddie went on, he was also fantastic in the movie, obviously. But
by the way, Paul Giamatti won the same exact awards Michael Keaton did that year. He won the Globe, he won CCA, and then he stopped winning after that.
Oh, my gosh.
So, listen, is there a world where Giamatti pulls it off?
Of course.
But I think Murphy got it.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's go to director.
I'm going to pretend it's for Red Eye.
So we got Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. We've got Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. We've got Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Martin Scorsese, up-and-comer for Killers of the Flower Moon. And Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
Triet.
I just like...
Nolan by miles. The number two, I think it's Glazer.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Could be Scorsese, but I think it's one of the two. I don't think it matters.
Listen, Christopher Nolan literally should have won this for Memento 20-some years ago. And then he should have won it again for Inception and Dunkirk.
This was a very funny – like I remember thinking – I talked about this with someone early on in the season. I said if he doesn't win this year, he's never going to win.
He'll win for like his shittiest movie.
I know.
But it was
one of those that like if he doesn't do it now, it's never.
Because that's what they said about Scorsese the year.
Departed.
No, not Departed. The year he didn't win for
Aviator?
No, the Gangs of New York. And then, whoa, out of nowhere, some guy who fled the country they give it to.
No, I think Nolan has it in the bag. But it is, speaking about Scorsese.
And people want Nolan.
It's nuts. Scorsese only has one Oscar.
It is. He has the same amount of Oscars as 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I love that song. I'm so happy they won.
Also the most nominated living director today.
Nolan, more like Yeslin.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Why?
I'll take it.
Why are you trying to hurt me?
Why am I bad?
Like, what did I ever do to you? Okay.
All right. So that's one of the easy ones. And then we come to Best Picture, which may be the easiest one of them all. We're down to American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
I like to reveal a revelation that I think might be accurate. So preferential voting has started in 2009, Hurt Locker year. The rules are you have to win 50% plus one of the people that vote to secure your best picture win. I have always long believed that I don't think we've ever had a movie clinch on the first round, like in this era. I think it goes through multiple rounds. This is the first time I think we might have that clinch on the first round. But coincidentally or interestingly, I believe the film that has the second most number one votes, not up to matter, Zone of Interest. I think it just craters after that, though. Like after – like if it does go through multiple rounds, it's like done. But I think American Fiction actually is probably number two. Not that it matters, but I think Oppenheimer is going to win by miles. But I think American Fiction is number two.
The Holdovers was loved a lot too, though. But I think
it just ate into it, man. I think the lighter movies are up there for sure. Like American Fiction. I think Barbie's maybe teeters around five.
There was a point where I thought it could be Barbie, and SAG just erased any doubt of that.
Mm. Yeah, Poor Things, and this is, I think we were talking about this earlier. I think Poor Things, I think, is the most divisive movie in terms of people who love it are like ride or die. I'll punch you in the face if you talk bad about this movie. Yeah. And there are people who are like, I'll punch you in the face if you make me watch this movie again.
They have a lot of violent people. There
are a lot of violent people.
But I think
Poor Things has like such a – I mean it's an 11 nomination movie. I think people misread them like, oh, no, they clearly love it. I think they're it had enough support with its crafts to get it through, but I don't know if it's necessarily beloved. It might be like fourth.
So Oppenheimer, huh? Oppenheimer?
Yeah, it's an oppie sweet.
What's in last place?
Oh, that's mean.
No, honestly, because I think that matters. Like, because that's the first movie that gets eliminated, and then whatever number two on those ballots is what gets added. So that's why you always have to think about what's last, what gets eliminated first.
You know what? It might be Barbie.
Oh, I think it's Maestro.
Because I was just going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about.
But what's number two on a Maestro ballot?
See, I think everybody likes Barbie, but I don't know if it's many people's number one choice.
Oh, so, yeah. It's probably not. I think it has probably like eighth amount of number one votes. But I think it's a lot of twos and threes. I think Maestro's last, but then I think twos and threes on those ballots are like Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon. You like big movies,
yeah.
Big auteurs, you know. Past Lives could be last also.
No.
Could be.
So are we saying that Barbie technically is probably only going to go home with one Oscar? Like it's the
It could also go home with four.
Could also go home with none. By the way, American Fiction is probably going home with none. So you know.
No, we say one.
Yeah, we say one. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Of course. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be the most amount of movies to go home empty-handed. I think the only ones I'm predicting to go home empty-handed are Past Lives. That's it.
Which only has two nominations in Vegas.
Only has two nominations. Yeah. Which, by the way, it's either that or Anatomy of a Fall that actually go home empty-handed.
Yeah,
they have to, you know, fight it out. Or Killers or Poor Things.
God, I would just love to see Celine Song give a acceptance speech at the Oscars. She's not at all what I expect. I thought she'd be very serious and introspective,
she's a great human.
She's a blast.
She is hilarious.
So Oppenheimer sweeping, how many are we thinking?
Well, I guess what you define as a sweep, right? I have it winning eight, which would be the most since Slumdog Millionaire. So I call that a sweep. I call a sweep anything that you win more than 70% of what you're nominated.
Yeah. If there's like a clear defining winner, like that dominated the Oscars, this will be the year that Oppenheimer is your easy headline.
I think it's at eight. I think it's worst day at six. I think there's a day that it's at 10. I think 10 would be the second most ever tied with West Side Story. It would have to pick up adapted screenplay and have to probably pick up production design.
Isn't this the first time if Nolan wins, Pitcher wins, Cillian Murphy win, and Robert wins, we've had like acting picture director in like years?
Long time.
Like it's been a long time.
Ben-Hur year. I think there's like a weirder stat of like the last movie to win picture director, two acting and cinematography and sound.
Silence?
Is like
Of the Lambs?
Oh, no. It goes back to like
– Oh, sorry. I was throwing an actress
I think
as well.
It goes back to like Gandhi.
Wow.
Like win lead acting or something like that. It was like some
Silence is the last one to sweep the top five.
Yeah, we've only had three top fivers.
When you say Silence, I thought you were
I realized that's why like Clayton gave me a face.
My favorite Scorsese movie, what?
Well, it's funny, I was talking about it yesterday. I can't remember the context, but I brought up how great Silence is and how many people the Martin Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
And how that's the one he really should have been rewarded more for.
Silence.
All right, so Oscars, where are you going to be, Clayton?
For 5.5 hours, I will be at the Dolby on ABC News with a bunch of correspondents giving predictions and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then I will be inside at the ceremony watching before going to the Governor's Awards and probably stopping by Universal to see Nolan be all happy.
Hopefully there'll be some sort of live mishap because those are always the best years.
Yeah,
Oscars.
Someone put out in the Twitter sphere, and they were like, "What if playing devil's advocate? What if Oppenheimer lost?
Like, it could happen.
Like what would
that'd be amazing?
I mean,
because then that would make for an interesting Oscars.
It would. Mm-hmm. It would prove I know nothing." Like, I know absolutely.
Are you saying that you, like, stepped down as awards editor at Variety?
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I would guess that everyone else would be wrong in that, too.
Yeah.
But it would be one of those that I would be like, okay, there is an untapped Academy voter I am not talking to.
Well, think about it. There are people, I'm sure, predicting that Oppenheimer doesn't win Best Picture. Like, I'm curious, go to Gold Derby or something. Who are the people predicting other films?
I don't think anyone is.
I think everybody has Best Picture.
If they're not, I think they're just being contrarian.
They're just being, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry. Are they bringing back that thing where they have past winners introduce
yes,
the acting nominees?
Five. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's going to be so much
fun. It's going to be great. And actually, shout out to... you know, she's a fellow pundit, you know, at another publication, Kyle Buchanan. Actually, I like him very much. But we have all the presenters now.
Yes.
And I think he kind of found the matchup of who would it be. So actor would be having Brendan Fraser, Nicolas Cage, Matthew McConaughey, Ben Kingsley, and Forrest Whitaker presenting.
Wow.
Because it's going to be former winners.
I even have a breakdown of who's presenting which person. suspected.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
not,
yeah. There's an actress, Michelle Yeoh, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlize Theron, Jessica Lange, Sally Field.
Jennifer Lawrence is definitely given Emma Stone
interest. She's got to do Emma. Yeah, she's got to do Emma. Supporting actor, Ke-Yu Kwan, Mahershala Ali, Sam Rockwell, Christoph Waltz, and Tim Robbins. And then supporting actress, Jamie Lee Curtis, Regina King, Rita Moreno.
Oh, my God.
She's got to talk for America. And she's got to say, America, America. Yeah. If she doesn't, then we're not doing this right. Octavia Spencer and Mary Steenburgen, Mrs.
Oh, I love Mary Steenburgen. I'm sorry. He is Mr. Mary Steenburgen.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So that's where you're going to be. Janelle, where are you going to be on Oscar Sunday?
What are you doing? I don't have any plans. I know where you live.
Hang out with you.
Watching some videos.
Watching TV.
Yeah.
Watch The Traitors.
Yes.
Oh,
Phaedra.
Guys, The Traitors, man, it's got me through this season Oscar season.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Reality TV. There you go.
Yeah.
Since just to peek ahead into post-Oscars life, have you, Michael, watched The Three-Body Problem yet?
So I'm in the process.
Oh.
Yeah, just starting.
We will speak.
So, yeah, we have a premiere, actually, at South By. That's where I'll be on Sunday, is at South By.
Woo-hoo. So I can still come over, though, right?
So. Maria will be watching.
Maria's going to be cooking. Yeah.
She'll have some goodies.
I'll go get some Maria food.
Jazz, what's your plan for Sunday night?
I will be in the Oscars press room asking questions.
So
it's always Ben Hoitema, Christopher Nolan, and Cord Jefferson, Janelle.
Sure.
Cord Jefferson.
Cord, oh my God.
And someone also says, I just got to say this, it was hilarious. Someone was like, it's going to really suck if Christopher Nolan, his first Oscar is going to be for a screenplay.
Oh, yeah, because that's, well, you know what, though? There is that the mentality when people were like, you know, Greta Gerwig was only nominated for a screenplay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, pretty freaking
damn hard, guys.
All right. Well, here we go. So look alive, everyone. Sunday night, it is the Oscars on ABC. And then
we'll be back earlier.
Exactly.
And also daylight savings.
Yeah. Yes. And basically 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Oscars will be.
And Abbott Elementary will be on afterwards.
Is it really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we have to finish on time this season.
Because we won Abbott.
So we'll be back here next week to talk about all the surprises, all the winners, any snubs
I'll
that happened. Clayton will be sleeping. But the rest of us will be here, so take a look for that. In the meantime, you know, rest up. Get ready. Look alive, everyone. We'll
it's
see you next
over.
Week.
Thanks, kids.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
The 96th Oscars, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, takes place on Sunday, March 10 at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Yes, a full hour earlier than normal on ABC. And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Zach Levin edited this episode, and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest awards predictions and key races, as well as a daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Janelle Riley, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you on the circuit.